Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us this morning is my good friend, Gina Miller. She's the Vice President of Broadcast Communications and Media with FC Dallas, and she's also doing a whole bunch of the communications for the FIFA World Cup Dallas 2026, hosting games in 2026, but also being designated, as you predicted, as the site for the International Broadcast Center and all of the exposure and economic impact that's about to hit North Texas over the next couple of years. Gina, how are you?
Chris, I never get enough Chris Arnold in my life. Every time I see you, talk to you, we do something together, which we get to do maybe once or twice a year. It's never enough. So this is such a treat to be here to visit with you today.
Most definitely. And I'm glad I'm able to squeeze in some time with you because I know it's a whirlwind month with International Women's Month, because I'm sure you've been on a whole bunch of people's lists to speak and to go to the functions and whatnot. I mean, because you're one of my favorite international women of the world.
You're so nice. Chris, it's been a very busy month. I'll put it that way. If I make it through this week, that's a big win. Sunday is going to be a celebratory rest day if I make it through the week. It's crazy, but we wouldn't have it any other way. You know that.
Yes, ma'am. And speaking of this week, what is going on this week as we speak?
So at Toyota Stadium today, we're here on Wednesday, March 26th, we're hosting a huge groundbreaking event at Toyota Stadium. You know, in September of last year, we announced a wonderful public-private partnership with the city of Frisco and Frisco ISD to undergo a $182 million renovation of Toyota Stadium, which opened in 2005. And so given that that's the case, it's time. Right. It's
yeah, 20 time years,
to, yeah. Yeah. 20 years. It's time to really make this stadium a modern, gorgeous new facility. So we're going to do it. And we are kicking off construction of our east side of Toyota Stadium today with a media event that will involve our players, our owner, the mayor of the city of Frisco, individuals who really helped get this partnership across the goal line. And then construction begins. You know, we're going to continue to play here at Toyota Stadium while we go through this renovation. So the east side will undergo a full renovation through the World Cup. We anticipate reopening the east side of Toyota Stadium in August of 2026. Shortly after that, the west side will go under construction, and that will go dark for a while. And we anticipate reopening that prior to the start of the 2028 season. So we'll have a whole new stadium here in Frisco. Same address, new stadium, where FC Dallas and Frisco ISD and the Frisco Bowl will call home.
That is absolutely amazing. And as again, we're ramping up for FIFA, World Cup, Dallas 2026. You know, Frisco is the home of FC Dallas. Previously, it was in the Cotton Bowl. Is the Cotton Bowl and FC Dallas, the stadium, Toyota Stadium, are they involved in any kind of way with the big event themselves, the games that would be taking place out at AT&T Stadium, which will be called Dallas Stadium the week?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. In fact, you can tell that story. You can tell the international story about that because you can't have sponsorships, right?
Right. You can't. It's all sort of brand agnostic. And it's very difficult to, I was doing an event for FIFA about 2 weeks ago. I emceed their media partners and broadcast partners summit. And they were doing a tour at, and I had to say this very intentionally, Dallas Stadium. And that's so difficult for you and me and anybody who's worked in this industry as long as we've worked in this industry, because AT&T Stadium rolls off the tongue.
Right.
I had to check myself and catch myself so many times as I was going through my script to make sure that I did not say AT&T Stadium. But yes, no, AT&T Stadium / Dallas Stadium is the home of all 9 World Cup matches. The K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center will be the host of the International Broadcast Center, which we can get to in a moment. But we anticipate the Cotton Bowl being the site of what it is and what it does best. The Cotton Bowl and Fair Park, the fun part. Fan fest, revelry, pageantry, ensuring that everybody gets to experience that gorgeous architecture that you see in Fair Park. So we anticipate the Cotton Bowl and Fair Park being part of the fan fest that are so popular and coincide with all the FIFA events.
You know, it's so wild. Way back in the day, I actually covered the World Cup at the Cotton Bowl in 1994. And it was a quarterfinal, and it was the Netherlands versus South Korea. It was an amazing day.
Yes. And it's so funny. You were at Channel 8 at the time, weren't you?
I was just starting at Channel 8. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So it's so funny because, you know, this is going to be the biggest sporting event in the world in 2026. Mm-hmm. 48 countries, an expanded tournament. People from around the world are going to be here. What's so funny about the 1994 tournament, which helped launch Major League Soccer in 1996, and you know this because you were working at Channel 8 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was still in college at the University of Houston, and I will never forget coming home that summer, as college kids do, and I'm watching Channel 8. And Dale Hansen, who we all know and love, does his on-cam, and he says, "They say it's the biggest sporting event in the world. I'm not convinced. Here's George Reba." You know?
That is typical Dale. Prove it to me.
Prove it to me. And he's still not a soccer guy, but he does understand, because we've kept in touch like you have since then. Mm-hmm. He understands the impact of it. But like you just said, Chris, so many people in North Texas, whether they were a soccer person or not at the time, have a memory, some sort of special memory from that World Cup in 1994.
It was very, very special. I remember it was a very hot day, too, because it was the middle of July. But at the same time, it was unique and special. And I remember everybody always saying, what's so wild about it is the world's game. And yet it was just getting comfortable in the United States. And meanwhile, literally hundreds of thousands of kids have been playing soccer all since they were like middle school and pre-K.
Yes. Oh, you're exactly right. And that's the thing. It's, you know, people grow up playing soccer and they're a part of it. And this World Cup is such a unique experience because whether you play soccer, you don't play soccer, you probably have an affinity for your country, right? Uh-huh. And that's what's so special about the World Cup, because it really is national, and it's a national pride.
Oh, yeah. Whatever I do, Gina, USA, USA, USA.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see so many different diverse cultures here who come to visit us in North Texas. And given that we are the home of the International Broadcast Center as well, that's going to only increase the level of diversity from a global perspective that's going to descend upon us here. But, you know, we've seen this with World Cups, Chris, for a Super Bowl, and you know this, Super Bowl Final Four, the average hotel night stay is about 2 nights. Because a World Cup is such a once-in-a-generation experience, and people save up for 4 years to go experience a World Cup, they go into market for about a week or so because they are saving up from World Cup to World Cup. They go into the market for about a week. So we're going to see so many incredible memories made, you know, from you having your memory from 94 to the people who experienced the Brazil-Holland quarterfinal at the Cotton Bowl in 94. I just think it's so exciting about what's to come. And the best thing about sports, and you know this, it's the memories that are created that really kind of tie us all together no matter where we are. And I think the opportunity for all of us to experience that in our hometowns here and in the towns that we adopt to call home is what's going to make this event here in North Texas so incredibly special.
So let me get this straight. For the 2026 FIFA World Cup, Dallas location, that summer of 2026, how many matches will be at AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. for that year, Dallas Stadium?
We will have 9 matches, including a semifinal. So 9 matches, yes. Chris, that's the most among any of the 16 host cities. We got the most. And I think that's a testament to what the Sports Commission and the Dallas Host Committee bid team did to convince FIFA and prove to FIFA how great we are to work with, the hospitable climate we have here, how easy we are to get in and out of. We're geographically right in the middle of it. I mean, technically, but, you know, between North and South, Canada and Mexico, as well as the West Coast and the East Coast, we're in the middle of it. And it's so easy to get in and out of North Texas, whether you're flying into Love Field, DFW, or one of the private airports. And then you just think about what that creates from a business opportunity. It's just going to be massive. And I think competitively, you're going to see some elimination games here at AT&T Stadium, Dallas Stadium. It's just going to be something that is a can't-miss experience for those of us who love sports, love being a part of the cultural moment. 9 games, though, that's really a testament. 9 games, including a semifinal, I should say. That's really a testament to what this committee did to prove to FIFA that we are the soccer community.
Yes, 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 yes. We're talking with Gina Miller with FC Dallas. She's head of their communications. She's vice president of it all. And we're talking about, you know, the FIFA World Cup 2026 Dallas. The stadium, like we're talking about, is the group stages. For those trying to keep up and visualize this, in 2026, that summer, June 14th, June 17th, June 22nd, June 25th, and June 27th, oh my goodness, as well as 2 round of 32 matches on June 30th and July 3rd, 1 round of the 16 game on July 6th. It's going to be doing everything, but as you said, not. It's the only thing they're not doing basically is hosting the final, which is going to be in New York, New Jersey. With that being said, for those who are keeping up as well, you mentioned all the other cities, and it's basically for North America. You've got Atlanta, Boston, Guadalajara, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Mexico City, Miami, Monterey, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle, Toronto, Vancouver, and Dallas. And in fact, this is going to be the largest tournament in World Cup history. How many teams? 48?
48. The first time the field has been expanded to this many countries. And what's so cool about that, Chris, is you're going to have a lot of countries qualifying for the World Cup for the very first time. That's going to be really cool.
This is like I said, talk about economic impact. Talk about the eyes of the world on Dallas-Fort Worth, the North Texas area. This is just pretty impressive. Can we talk a little bit about the $295 million they're going to spend to reconfigure AT&T Stadium, or at least make it fit where FIFA likes it and still have the various events that they normally have there, including Cowboys games?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge that AT&T Stadium is going to undergo. And we know they undergo challenges really, really well. You know, the majority of these games are taking place in football venues. You look at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, NRG in Houston, Levi Stadium in San Jose, San Francisco area, SoFi Stadium. A lot of them are taking place in these NFL venues. And an NFL field is different from a soccer pitch, which is a little longer and a little wider.
Right.
So they all have to be reconfigured to accommodate a soccer pitch. They have to be converted to natural grass, which is very specific. We know that AT&T Stadium, Dallas Stadium, is turf. Mm-hmm. It will be converted to natural grass, and they're working with the best of the grass experts, including consulting our team here at Toyota Stadium on that conversion process. And then, of course, AT&T, Dallas Stadium, like all the other NFL venues, are working to do some sort of renovation with their field level suites and the seating areas adjacent to the field to accommodate the widening and lengthening of the field into a pitch. So it's quite a process. And I know that the Cowboys are going to continue holding events, continue playing NFL games there, of course. So it's a little bit of Tetris, though, at the same time, because they'll be testing the surface, testing the pitch to ensure it's feasible. And many of you might have seen this when FIFA was here in 2021.
That's right.
Doing an extensive site survey and site visit. AT&T Stadium experimented with various levels of a raised pitch, ranging anywhere from 6 to 14 feet above the actual floor of AT&T Stadium. So they'll be experimenting with a raised pitch for the World Cup in a venue like Dallas Stadium, AT&T Stadium, to determine which one is the best from a playing surface standpoint, because they've seen that when you raise a pitch, it can create a little bit of a trampoline effect, if that makes sense. I'm making
yeah,
a motion
I know what you mean.
With
a little
my
bouncy.
Hands,
you're talking about bouncy.
Yeah,
right.
A little bit bouncy. And I remember this. Remember when the All-Star game was at AT&T Stadium in 10 or 11? I think it was 2011, maybe?
2010.
Thank you. Yeah. It was cold that weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. It snowed out of the blue.
It was cold that weekend,
too. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Talking about the NBA All-Star weekend. Yeah.
Right. But remember, they raised the basketball
court. Sure did.
About a foot over the concrete floor at AT&T Stadium. And that, in and of itself, was a huge accommodation and undertaking by the AT&T Stadium team. So to be able to execute this type of a pitch with the construction that's going to take place, with the experimenting to ensure we get a solid, nice playing surface that's either 6 to 14 feet above the AT&T Dallas Stadium floor, it's a massive undertaking that the folks at AT&T Stadium are doing.
Yes, it is, and they're up to the challenge. In fact, this is not the first time they've hosted soccer events out there. In fact, they've had a lot of them, which is why they were in the running, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The first event that AT&T Stadium ever hosted was an international friendly. They've hosted FC Barcelona. Uh-huh. They've hosted Juventus. I mean, AT&T Stadium knows how to do soccer, football, whatever version you want to say. It knows how to do this. It's hosted CONCACAF. It's hosted World Cup qualifiers, international friendlies. You know, they're really familiar with how to do this. I think the nuance of the World Cup quality playing surface is a little bit of a nuance that every football venue is working to figure out right now. And it's a process to figure that out for sure.
You know, I'm building up to the broadcast center because I want you to tell some stories on that. But before we get to the broadcast center, we got a group of people working to handle the media. We're talking about all the different agencies have come together to work together to make sure that Dallas-Fort Worth, North Texas, the Metroplex has a very, very good look. And I'm bringing this up to say, and you can brag on them a little bit, and then I'm going to ask you to tell a little side story. So go ahead and brag on the teams who are working together on this, because it's been a process for a couple of years now.
It is a lesson and testament and textbook execution and collaboration and regional
collaboration.
Diplomacy.
Yes.
Yeah, collaboration. We are stronger as a team. And this region is certainly stronger as a team. And the overall effort was really led by Monica Paul and her team, the Dallas Sports Commission, to serve as sort of the center of the wheel to ensure that we're liaising appropriately with the cities of Dallas, Frisco, Fort Worth, Arlington, all of these communities, Richardson, Addison, all of these communities to ensure that we're well represented and we're maximizing what this region can do. Nobody does Cowtown better than Fort Worth. Urban, excitement. You look at Dallas. Soccer right here, Frisco, Texas, National Soccer Hall of Fame, home of FC Dallas, all of our youth and academy programs. You know, soccer begins here. So you look at all that, and how do you get all those stakeholders who are so important to this process to work together in selfless fashion to come to and achieve an overall goal? And I think all of those stakeholders really saw the big vision there. The mayors and the leaders of all of these cities and governing bodies really saw the vision and the opportunity that this tournament is going to bring. And it's a reason why we got the International Broadcast Center. It's a reason why we got 9 games plus a semifinal. You know, that collaborative spirit and that really sense of grand Texas hospitality is something that isn't lost on FIFA at all.
Okay, now I want to drill down and focus on you. And let me explain why. I want to hear the story about this.
Oh, boy.
When they announced that the greatest soccer star in the world, Messi, was coming to Frisco. I want to know how you coordinated that, because I was just like, wow, Messi's coming. And they just announced this. Oh, my God. Poor Gina.
Chris, let me tell you, you and I have covered everything.
Yes.
Right? We've truly covered everything. Super Bowls. You covered the 90s Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
Yep, I was still
in college. But, I mean, the finals with the Mavs, win, the loss. We've done it all.
World Series, all that stuff. Yep.
We've done it. And we're jaded a little bit. This was unlike anything I've ever done before.
I bet. That's why I got to hear this.
Yeah. Because we ended up, we hosted Lionel Messi in a tournament called Leagues Cup. It's a tournament that runs concurrent to the MLS season. And it's a tournament that takes place between Liga MX, the Mexican league, and Major League Soccer, the U.S. league. And we qualified, and it's very much like a World Cup style tournament. It has a group stage and then a knockout round. So we advanced out of the group stage to host Lionel Messi and Inter Miami in a knockout stage match. We qualified on a Wednesday night, and we had to host Messi on a Sunday night in August. So the weather was great. And we were the first, welcome to Texas, right? We were the first MLS team in the league in 2023 to host Lionel Messi on the road. He had played all of his previous games in Miami.
Right.
We were the first road team.
Right.
And it was the first chance for people really outside of South Florida or who hadn't flown in to that region to see the greatest soccer player in the world, kind of something that's not up for debate there, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, he just won the World Cup.
Yeah. And like you said, all these people, all these celebrities are flying down to Miami just to see him.
Oh,
name
yeah.
a big name. They were all down there in Miami. And then suddenly, he's coming to Frisco.
They're in Frisco, yeah. And so, and it's so funny because I'm just going to level with you, you know, we have an opportunity here from a soccer perspective to continue to tell the story, be aggressive and assertive to ensure that our story is told.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we were hosting Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, everyone who did not know soccer existed called me. They were my best friend.
Oh,
they told me they had to be there for this tournament. I mean, there's one columnist whose name I will not name, but you know who he is. He's like, I cannot believe I'm here covering soccer, but I'm here covering the best player in the world and I wanted to see you. We joked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Dale Hansen didn't make it. I will say that. But you know,
you'd have to helicopter him and you have to let him borrow Jerry's helicopter.
You would. But everyone was there. Tony Romo was there.
Yeah.
David Beckham and Victoria Beckham came in.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was Lionel Messi's first trip outside of Miami, we had to work with Major League Soccer security to really understand what this experience is like, because there were people at his hotel. There were people stalking the Miami side where the Miami team enters, because, you know, each team has its own entrance coming into Toyota Stadium. So we really had to pivot. And I give our operations and security teams the credit in the world, because they turned on a dime. They had to turn on a dime. And we, from a media perspective, we have a press box that, it's an older press box, one of the reasons why we're renovating. We have a press box that can squeeze in 40 people. Well, we had almost 10 times that in attendance.
Did you have to do it like the Super Bowl where you have like outside seating? Yeah.
That's exactly what we did, Chris. Mm-hmm. We had to put some people in the club space, which they loved. You know, I had Andres Cantor, the great Andres Cantor, front and center in one of our club spaces. And people were coming up to him. Like, he was a big, he is a big superstar, but people were coming up to him. But then we had to put some people outside as well.
Yeah.
And I probably slept, Chris, a sum total of 10 hours between August 4th, that Wednesday when we qualified, to August 6th, when we ended up playing Inter Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was going to dinner with a friend, and it was on the Friday night prior to Sunday. I was going to dinner with a friend, and I said, look, I'm going to be a terrible date tonight because I'm going to be on the phone
texting,
talking to people. This
nonstop.
Will not be a good dinner. So I had to bring a wingman to dinner with me to serve somebody to talk with me at dinner. You know, I spent zero time with my daughter that weekend, but she was able to, because the our ownership here at FC Dallas extended an opportunity to a lot of the children of FC Dallas employees to walk on the field prior to the game.
That's awesome.
And so she got to stand down in the tunnel and hold an FC Dallas player's hand in the tunnel and walk out with the players during the processional. And they had some players holding the Inter Miami players and, of course, Lionel Messi's hand. And Lionel Messi, to his credit, he gave a high five and a bit of a head rub, if you will, to all the kids who were in the ball line. And my daughter was so cute. She said, yeah, I high-fived all the FC Dallas players with my left hand, but I high-fived Messi with my right hand.
And that's the one she's not watching the rest of her life.
Exactly.
Wow.
But it was an experience unlike any other. And you know, I go back to what I said. You and I have covered everything. Mm-hmm. And we've covered a lot of things where the center of the sports world was where we were at that time, whether it was Texas beating USC in the Rose Bowl or the Cowboys or whatever, the World Series. That was a moment, Chris, where the center of the sports world was right here in Frisco, Texas. And it was one of those magical moments that sports can only create. It brought so many people together. And no matter how you experienced that game, whether you got in with a $25 ticket or you paid a fortune for a ticket, you got your money's worth because it was a great game. Lionel Messi did Lionel Messi things, and it was a wonderful night for everyone. It was a little sticky and hot, but it was a great night.
You know what? I have you tell that story, and I did not know the whole story until I asked you just now, but I knew it was a good one. And I had you tell that story because it's kind of a buildup to what's going to happen in the summer of 2026. In your own certain way, whoever's coming to town and trying to experience some of the World Cup, you will have stories like that that will last a lifetime no matter which team is in town. And with that being said, the world is going to see everything about North Texas because the rights to the broadcast center will be at K. Bailey Hutchins Convention Center in downtown Dallas, and they are renovating that, a $2 billion renovation. And I want you to tell the story about that because the last time I had you on this show talking about it was a couple of years ago, and you were telling the story about how Dan Hunt, the owner of the of FC Dallas, was in the Middle East at their broadcast center, and he was amazed by all of that and how epic it would be if we got the rights to the broadcast center, the International Broadcast Center, and how huge that would be for North Texas. Can you tell that story and explain and expound about how all the broadcasters of the world are going to descend upon North Texas?
Exactly right. And here we are. Here we are. So Dan traveled to Qatar in 2022. He's been to every World Cup since 1986. He traveled to Qatar for the World Cup in 2022 and examined the International Broadcast Center just from a site survey perspective, because you learn so much being on the ground and experiencing things firsthand. And Qatar was a bit of a different beast because they didn't have a lot of the infrastructure and existing structures that we currently have. I mean, all the stadiums for World Cup 2026 are pretty much built. They'll go through some renovations, but they're built. All of the facilities, you know, K. Bailey Hutchinson, huge renovation, but it's built. Qatar built everything specifically for World Cup 2026, including the International Broadcast Center. And what was so unique about that experience, obviously, Qatar was the first winter World Cup. That World Cup took place in the winter because of the heat in Qatar in the summer. World Cups, of course, usually take place in the summer. But in the International Broadcast Center, what was so interesting about that, one was the size. It was so technologically future-proofed, given the money that was invested in it, but the size of it was just enormous. And of course, in 1994, Dallas Fair Park hosted the International Broadcast Center for the 94 World Cup. This was a completely different animal, and Dan saw the IBC in 1994. Obviously, the one in 22 was night and day difference. But what was so interesting about that was because of the heat and some of the challenges that that weather presents in the Middle East, they use these cooling systems. And you know how hot things can get when you're talking about television technology, the lights and the wires and the fibers and things of that nature. Well, the engineers and individuals in Qatar who helped construct that International Broadcast Center, and I'm sure they did this with other buildings too, did piping with cold water running through it to ensure that everything would remain cool and operational during the tournament. Because when you're broadcasting a global game to global audiences around the world, you're doing it 24 hours a day.
That's right.
What may be prime time in one country is 6 a.m. in the morning in another country. So you have to be operational 24 hours a day. So that's what we're going to experience here. IBC is back. International Broadcast Center 2.0 is coming to North Texas, Dallas specifically. And this is opportunity, Chris. Massive opportunity, because all the global broadcasters, think BBC, Sky Sports, TV yeah. Sank, Eurovision. Yeah, Eurovision. Yeah. Broadcasters from Japan, Korea, the Middle East. They will all be here setting up shop well in advance of the tournament, because they need to scout locations for their crews, scout locations for everything that they need while they're here to ensure that they can cover this story appropriately and that their staff can be in great shape and comfortable so that they can do their work for their various broadcasters. So they're going to start coming here, I would think, you know, Q4 of this year, January at the latest of next year, to start finding housing and you know, just places to eat and places to set up shop and call home. Like I said earlier, I emceed the FIFA Media and Broadcast Partner Summit, and that was just a glimpse of what we're going to see, because it was a meeting of all the broadcast partners who are going to be broadcasting these games. We're going to be here in 2026 for the International Broadcast Center, as well as the advertisers. And just they were struck by the magnitude of the market, the size of the market, and the expanse of the market. A lot of these people come from European communities where things are a little bit more compact and small.
They might have a lot of people, but they're not spread out like Dallas-Fort Worth.
They are not. Yeah, they're not spread out like DFW. They were struck by the magnitude and size of the market. And they were also struck, though, I will say this, by our hospitality. And that's been our secret weapon, Chris, and you know this. Our Southern hospitality is really such a positive thing. And that's what I think our message is to anyone as we track towards 2026. Continue to have that hospitable mindset. We may have a little bit more traffic, and it may be a little bit more difficult to get a reservation at our favorite restaurant, or the line at the coffee shop may be a little bit longer because you may have an entire delegation from the Netherlands primary broadcaster having a meeting at your favorite coffee shop, right? But have some patience, because this is creating tax revenue. This is creating job opportunities for us here locally, because people have to serve those individuals. And it's serving as a huge commercial for our region, potentially bringing businesses here, tourists here, creating fans of our sports teams. I just think the opportunity for the local broadcasters to be here to tell our stories in this market, it's just so massive. And I admit that with full bias, because I was a broadcaster and still identify as one and love to tell stories of local markets like you did for so long. But I just think this is a once in a generation opportunity that every single member of the North Texas community is involved in from a being a good host perspective.
Exactly. And we're talking about the broadcasters. It goes even further than that. When you talk about like social media and TikTok and Instagram and influencers and being providing content, everything in North Texas is going to blow up. In other words, the opportunities to grow your business, the economic impact is going to be outstanding, which leads me to wrap our conversation up with this. I saw this little nugget and I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube. I went a rabbit hole because I was like, okay, and I actually met the guy. Dallas, let's put it like this, FIFA World Cup 2026, the Dallas location. In fact, all of the locations in North America have a Sonic. Now, I said, like, what's a Sonic ID? So what is this Sonic ID?
Google Sonic ID, yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing the Mavericks game, and I got a chance to meet, you know, the local Grammy Award-winning producer, Trey Nigella, and he actually put a remix of it, because every city gets to do a remix of this little song or this instrumental that the World Cup licensed for all the different locations. And I heard it and I was like, oh my God. So can you elaborate a little further? I don't know if you can or not. All I'm saying was like, that's clever as well, because that goes viral.
Yep. And I think you brought up such an interesting point. You're like, what is this Sonic ID? You know, when we started working with FIFA, you know, I found out what a Sonic ID was about 18 months ago. We've all heard it. And basically, it's just sort of a musical pop,
right,
if you will, that really
lets you know it's World Cup.
Yes.
It's no different than a little soft bed underneath a commercial for like an insurance company or something. You just hear that song. Yeah, you go, oh, State Farm, whatever. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the identifiable audio noise that you're like, oh, that's what that is, mm-hmm. you know, or the Law and Order thing that you hear.
Yes. Bum, bum. Yes.
That's one thing that comes to mind for me. And FIFA does a masterful job of this, ensuring that each host city has its own unique regional diversity uh-huh. represented. They do a great job of this. And that's unique for the tournament, you know, because with 16 host cities across three countries, we have a lot of diversity here represented throughout the entire tournament. So the North Texas region, Dallas, we got Trey to participate mm-hmm. and with that.
And he's worked with Lady Gaga and Snoop Dogg. I mean, he's worked some of the best of the best.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, we got Trey to produce the Sonic ID for Dallas. And I think it reflects our region. But if you go down the FIFA rabbit hole like you did, Chris, you'll see that everything is really localized mm-hmm. from the host city colors. You'll see a lot of orange and bluish green represented in the Dallas color. That's to represent the sunrise and the sunset in North Texas, because we know we have the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets
yes,
here in North Texas. We said we had a beautiful one last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the videos that they do, they're just so distinctive and authentic, and they honor the integrity and the diversity of each region. And that's what the Sonic ID did. What's coming up next is our markets poster. Again, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be very local. It's going to reflect who we are as North Texans. And I think it's great. I'll tell you the one thing that I think it's so funny. And it's just, as a native Dallasite, Chris, I love this. So the Sonic ID for Atlanta, again, it was great. It's authentic to Atlanta. We know the music community in Atlanta is really spectacular. You know who the producer was for that one?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. He's done all this stuff with the ATL. I mean, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's worked with TLC. He's worked with Babyface, all those groups.
Dallas Austin.
See, that's right.
We're everywhere.
Yep. Dallas Austin. That's right.
Dallas Austin. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he's big time. Well,
he's
Gina,
huge. Yeah.
This has been a wonderful conversation. We'll keep talking as we got to get you back on the show as we get closer and closer to the big World Cup 2026 Dallas. Gina Miller, she is the Vice President of Broadcast Communications and Media with FC Dallas. Thanks again, Gina. Appreciate you for joining us.
Chris, I never get enough Chris Arnold in my life. So anytime I get the chance to work with you, see you, chat with you, it is always such a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is Dr. James Thompson. He's got a book out about the trillion-dollar health and wellness industry, the fitness equipment used, supplements purchased, and why so many Americans feel like they're not very healthy right now. Dr. Thompson, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad you joined us because everybody's always trying to be in shape and stay in shape and get active, especially in the spring after winter's gone. You know, you make these a lot of people do it over the New Year's. They're like, okay, I got a resolution. I'm going to get better shape and get healthy. And they've wind up buying things, whether it's gym equipment or they wind up buying supplements or they're trying to eat right, whatever it is, and they're not quite where they want to be. Can you talk about that a little bit? And then we'll talk about your book.
Oh, sure. Well, there certainly seems to be an interest in improving overall health, but some people struggle with knowing where to start and how far to go. And so it's good to have a guide and know that really any steps you take towards improving your health does eventually add up. So I try to advise people not to expect immediate results, to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Usually whatever their concerns are didn't build up over the course of a day. So we have to be a little patient and know that there's multiple approaches to getting to perhaps whatever that goal is, whether it's to lose 20 pounds or to reduce risks of certain diseases that might run in the family, or just to optimize health. So I think there's certainly a multifaceted way of approaching it that needs some organization and understanding of what those objectives are. And that's one thing I try to explain in my book.
We're talking to Dr. James Thompson. He is a leading physician and the author of the book, Fearless Wellness. And I love this because we spend a lot of time on our mental wellness, but then a lot of people want to have their physical wellness, and sometimes it overlaps, and you want to be healthy and you want to be happy. And one of the things that you bring up in your book is about how people spend so much money, or they think, uh-oh, if I join a gym, it's going to cost me a whole lot of money. Can you kind of talk about some of the things that cross people's minds as they decide to dedicate themselves to feeling better through their health?
Yes, and of course, it differs with people. People have different motivations and different concerns about mm-hmm. how they approach this. Some are concerned about, you know, overspending or about the pressures of the costs of not only equipment or fancy gyms, but also of, say, food, organic food or fresh mm-hmm. food that might spoil. So the key is to really find out what some of those shortcuts are and how to cut costs. If people don't want to register or sign up with a gym in their area, they can create a gym right in their own home for a lot less money.
Exactly.
If you have steps, if you have chairs, you have a TV monitor, you know, YouTube has several exercise programs you can do on the floor or in your chair. There are so many ways you can exercise without actually having to buy any equipment. In fact, I learned a lot about that when the pandemic occurred and you couldn't go to some of these public
That's
places.
Right.
My home became my gym without any fancy equipment. So it's a matter of a little know-how. Same thing when you select foods, buying in season and buying dry goods in bulk. There is ways online that you can find a way to perhaps spend money no more than $5 a day on your daily meals. But you just have to have that know-how.
Exactly. You got to have a game plan, so to speak. And you mentioned this. I got to throw out some numbers for people. The average American spends around $5,300 on wellness and total wellness marketing. Let's see, the wellness market has $1.8 trillion spent annually. U.S. consumers spend more on physical activity than any other country in the world, with a market size of $265 billion. They spend $12.8 billion out of pocket on natural product supplements. In fact, total spending on purchases related to self-care is approaching $2.7 billion. In other words, people do want to feel better, look better, and take care of themselves. And apparently, we're just throwing money at it.
That's true. And the probiotic industry, the vitamin supplement industry, as we mentioned, the fitness gyms, yes, they are making head over heels money off of consumers. And the irony is that despite the modern and the technological improvements we have here and the abundance, we are still like 50 on the list of westernized countries in terms of healthcare dollars the level of health in our country. And that's very disconcerting.
Can you talk a little bit about how I think it's also generational? And the reason I'm going to point it out, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this or not. It seems like as Gen X and even baby boomers get older, and I think that's the majority of the population. I don't think there's as many Gen Zs and seniors, but it seems like there's a lot of Gen X and baby boomers who suddenly feel like, you know what? I'm over the age of 40 now. I got to get in shape.
Yes, I think there are some generational differences, and mm-hmm. there are also generational influences in terms of the environment. For example, you know, a couple of generations ago, you walked to school. You spent a lot more time outside. Mm-hmm. You didn't have these these games that you'd be, you know, sitting around playing and for hours.
Yeah, the gamers.
Jobs were, you know, your jobs required more physical activity. So,
Dr. Thompson, are you calling some people some couch potatoes?
Well, I think that's part of the problem in this country. Some people think if they run a few miles or walk a few miles in the morning and they sit for 8 hours at their job, that, you know, that's a healthy construct. But actually, there are some researchers that have said if you sit several hours at a time, it pretty much negates that half hour of hour of physical activity that you engaged in that morning. Now, that's not to discourage anybody. Keep up with your routine. But the point is, sitting down for multiple or, you know, more than a couple hours at a time is very unhealthy. So we do need to have more movement. And that's part of that generational difference also.
Have you noticed, you mentioned the pandemic, that a lot of companies are actually trying to have either gym areas in their offices, or they have some kind of areas where you can work out, or offer memberships to gyms that, you know, kind of try to keep their staff not only healthy, but they know the competition is out there because there are other companies offering the same kind of things. And this is since the pandemic, because you mentioned, you know, when you're working from home, and a lot of people wound up doing that, they were actually able to get things done and probably be a little bit healthier because they weren't sitting in the car driving back to work.
That's true. That is the plus side of that coin, the positive side. Mm-hmm. You know, the negative side, of course, were those that didn't have that initiative or that perspective. And, you know, then they did very little, mm-hmm. you know, at home during that time.
Gaming on the side, yes. Playing Fortnite, playing Call of Duty, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes.
So the bottom line is, you've got to kind of motivate not just yourself, but find ways of motivation. You mentioned YouTube and having videos. Quiet as it's kept, YouTube has everything. It can answer questions for you. It can show you how. I go to YouTube when I want to fix stuff around the house. I go to YouTube when I want to do something with my car, you know, little things I learn, because there's always somebody with a video. But there's also different people out there who kind of break down supplements or try to, you know, they get those algorithms, and then all of a sudden you start getting, you know, ads for things you were just curious about. Can you talk about navigating some of the stuff online?
Yes. There's so much out there. I mean, you mentioned YouTube. I call it YouTube University.
Yeah.
You can almost find anything, including, you know, including analysis of supplements. The problem is that the resources or the sources that you use, you have to be careful, because you can find good things that are backed up by science on YouTube, and then you can find carpetbag type things where there's just testimonials and people just trying to sell you something. So you have to exercise with caution and really, really try to get go to sites that have science-based foundation. And just because someone says they begins their name with doctor doesn't necessarily mean they're giving you good advice. Mm-hmm. You really need to vet some of who you're listening to and where you're getting your information from. But that aside, there is just an endless amount of information. And now, you know, with Google, you know, we know Google was part of that, but we also now we have AI, ChatGPT, those. So there's just endless information, but it does need to be tempered by making sure you're looking at something that's evidence-based and being very cautious and finding who your mentor should be. Like, I have about 10 different health mentors that I listen to avidly week mm-hmm. to week. And that's how you learn, and you know there are changes that occur when in nutrition, and you want to be abreast of what some of those changes are based on the more current research.
You want to name a few of those? It's up to you.
Oh, sure. Dr. Neil Barnard, mm-hmm. B-A-R, B as in boy, A-R-N-A-R-D. Dr. Michael Greger. If you went on YouTube and you just put their names, you'd find where they're located. Mm-hmm. Dr. Barnard is with PCRM.org. That's Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. I'm actually a member of it. It's a national group of doctors. Dr. Greger has Nutrition Facts, FACTS.org, evidence-based nutrition information that is placed on that site, on his YouTube site, every week, often multiple placements. There's also Dr. Joel Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N. Those are my top. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my top people.
When you decided to write the book Fearless Wellness, what motivated you? Did anything happen to you personally, or did you all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm not as fit as I want to be, or I noticed how things are costing too much? I just wanted to find out what was your motivation, because it's a solid book.
Yes. Well, my motivation was a realization that there was a large gap in my knowledge about nutrition, that even after more than 25 years of practice, I had not realized. And that came after I participated in a Daniel fast, a religious fast, mm-hmm. called Daniel fast, mm-hmm. that my church started doing about 15 years ago. And when we first did a 10-day fast, and then the following year in January, we did a 21-day. The 10-day fast was kind of a shot across the bow, because by that 10th day, I was feeling so much different, not just from fasting, but the way our church proceeded was that you fasted most of the day, and then you could only have a plant-based meal in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did the 21 days fast the following year, by that second week, I felt rejuvenated. My energy level was up.
Yep.
I was sleeping like a baby. Joint pains I'd had running on concrete to try to reinforce my heart health were disappearing. I was getting dizzy when I stood up. I found that's because my blood pressure medicines that I'd been taking for more than 20 years were too strong. And so I said, I just wondered, well, what is this? It can't be just the prayer, because mm-hmm. Daniel fast is really about prayer, not about eating. But I was tuned in on the nutrition part. So that sparked my interest in learning more. So that's when I got certified in a year-long course in nutrition, integrative nutrition. And that opened my eyes to so many things that I didn't know, that I didn't have in training, that I didn't have in follow-up training, and that many of my colleagues have not had in training. Because our training for conventional medicine is disease-based.
Right.
It's not preventive-based.
Right.
You know, it's not root cause-based.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, once I adapted that into my practice, taking care of patients with asthma and food allergies and immune problems, I had so much better results and great feedback. And so that's what prompted it.
You know what, you mentioned the fasting, and for those who don't know, fasting is not just for weight management, not just for metabolic health. It actually helps your brain. It's brain health and cellular repair. And there are some people who actually do intermediate fasting. Is that called apophagy? All I can tell you is that people have been doing some intermediate fasting, and it makes them feel better and allows them to, quote unquote, be more physically active. Have you found a connection there as well?
Yes, a few years ago, I actually started twice a week doing some intermittent fasting. Another name is time-restricted eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it does involve one of a multiple set of things happen. One of them is one you mentioned, autophagy.
Yes.
And that's
that's the word I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Autophagy.
Yeah, that's an intracellular cleansing mechanism. The,
mm-hmm.
the I forget the Asian doctor or researcher that got a Nobel Prize for it, but about 20 years ago there was a Nobel Prize for that information, and we know now that is an important way to sustain health, a kind of intracellular cleaning, that when that starts to wane, that's part of the aging process. But it's also the reason why some people have premature aging when they don't have autophagy in place. So yes, sleep helps with mm-hmm. that, so does exercise. But also the way you can have better brain health is of course, by eating healthy and by making sure you have done things to manage stress. So there are a number of things that increase your sleep health. But sleep health is very important, because not
it
only
sure
does
is.
It help to kind of establish the data points during the day that you occur so that you can recall them, it also tends to help emotional stability,
mm-hmm.
and it tends to give you a kind of a brain boost for the following day. So when you get less than 7 hours of sleep, you are often impairing the natural processes for good brain health.
You're exactly right. And a lot of people don't understand that. And some people actually have to realize you need to put the phone down or turn the TV off so that you can actually get those good hours of sleep. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. You know, you get certain kind of light waves from monitors and screens, including your cell phone. And those noises tend to disrupt that natural progression through the stages of sleep. And so there's a number of things you can do to improve your sleep quality and sleep quantity.
Mm-hmm. Including?
Well, some other items include dimming the lights about 30 to 30 minutes to an hour before you go to sleep. If you have a cool environment, you know, taking a warm shower or hot shower, and then the cooling off before you get in bed is good. Making sure at night that the temperature is kind of at the lower end, mm-hmm. where you feel like being under the cover. Not eating within 2 hours of
going to bed.
Sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Making sure you don't drink coffee mm-hmm. if you go to sleep usually around 10 or so and at night, you know, you don't want to have coffee after like noon or after 12 to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. in the afternoon, because that caffeine, some people are slow metabolizers, mm-hmm. and that can disrupt your sleep. If you're, you know, trying to avoid taking sleep aids, mm-hmm. because they may help in the short run, but they tend not to in the long run.
Right.
And not having a drink, you know, your cocktail mm-hmm. at night, thinking that relaxes you to go to sleep. That can be counterproductive or in terms of your sleep quality.
Is there like I would call this a natural supplement, like magnesium, that could help you sleep?
I'm not sure about magnesium and sleep. I'd actually have to look that up. I've heard the context I'm more familiar with magnesium is its impact on the bowels mm-hmm. and in certain asthma settings when there's a problem with managing asthma. It's such an important, you know, mineral. I think that when people eat healthy, often they don't need to take these supplements. When they're getting mm-hmm. the adequate amount of fiber, they probably don't need to take magnesium supplements. Mm-hmm. Their bowels move just fine. They usually sleep better anyway. So that's kind of my preferred approach. If someone's not already eating a whole food plant-based type of meal, then that's the first thing I would say to do.
You know what? You're talking about the meals. A lot of people are now very familiar with you should have protein in your diet and not have excessive carbs. And carbs are not necessarily, fats are not bad. It's the carbs that can do you in. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. I think people in this country and probably many places around the world focus too much on protein. that's one of the most common questions vegans and vegetarians are asked by mm-hmm. others that are, you know, are interested. You know, where are you going to get your protein?
Right. That's what they say. Yep.
A lot of people don't realize that every plant that you consume has protein in it.
Sure does.
The building blocks of protein are amino acids, and all plants that you eat have amino acids. Mm-hmm. So they have protein. So that's one thing. Is the last thing that's likely going to happen if you decide to go plant-based is being protein deficient. And so I always cringe when I go to places and you know, even when you want to give us, you know, you got your smoothie, your green smoothie mm-hmm. with some fruit and all that. And then they ask you, well, what protein would you like to add? Right. I always want to say it's already got protein. but I think that's an important topic because I run into so many people that want to take protein supplements and really don't need to
mm-hmm.
because you're getting enough. I mean, you know, how much for the average size male, it's 55 grams, and for the average size female, 45 grams. That's like 0.8 per kilogram.
Mm-hmm.
And so Americans on the whole, whether they're eating whole food plant-based or standard American, are getting more than enough protein. More than enough protein for daily use. Now, the one exception might be if you go plant-based, if you're a bodybuilder, and there are some of the strongest well-cut bodybuilders in this country that are plant-based, by the way.
See, but a lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't. But you might need some other protein, and you may need some additional protein if you're bodybuilding. But people should realize that plant-based protein is healthier than animal-based protein.
And that's why a lot of different restaurants and fast food places are actually adding that to their menu so that you can have that choice, right?
Yes. And I think people shouldn't worry about extra protein except under the circumstances I mentioned, if they're bodybuilding, but otherwise they're going to get plenty. But you get more of it in the beans and grains mm-hmm. than you do in, you know, some of the fruits and green leafy vegetables. But if you eat a really balanced, diverse, plant-based diet, you really don't have to worry about your protein.
The book is called Fearless Wellness. Is there any takeaways from your book that you want to make sure our listeners know about?
Yes, I made sure that this was not really a vegan book. Mm-hmm. This is a book for people that really just want to take steps to optimize their health.
Yes.
You know, perfection is not really the goal here. It's progress. And any progress you make, even if it's just eating a few to a handful of more servings per day, is going to add up to more quality years and more years to your life. And so it's not all about food. Relationships and movement and spirituality and purpose are very much the underpinnings of good health, too, of which if any of those are out of balance, you can eat all the healthy food you want, but
exactly.
You're still going to have some issues.
Exactly. It's about wellness. It's all of it, you know?
It is. And we're talking about mind. We're talking about body.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have that trinity together, you're giving it your best shot.
Sounds like you're talking about balance.
Oh, yes. Balance. Absolutely.
I mean, this is an outstanding book. And again, I advise everybody to pick it up if you can. Where can they find the book? Is there a website that they can get more information about your book called Fearless Wellness?
You can get more information about my book right off a link off my website, which is interestingly called FearlessMD21.com.
That is fantastic. And again, is there one particular chapter in there you say we cannot miss this?
Wow.
Because it's so balanced. You say pick your choice. You know what the bottom line is? People just need to take their steps to turning their life around for the better. It's a process. Yeah. Like you said, it's not something you just do. Oh, I'm going to start working out harder. Or I'm just eating right immediately. It's like do a little homework, put together a plan, and get started. And once you get started, it's just step by step by step. Is that the best way to put it?
Yes, I think so. And I think if people even just start with the introduction, that will be a great start because they'll get a whole idea of what's in that book and the purpose of that book and just start off with a very good orientation.
He is Dr. James Thompson. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.